Hi, I'm Rob, and I'm here with Kate.
Hi.
Welcome to the Backseat Imagineering Podcast. We are two lifelong Disney fans who love to share our opinions, experiences, and insights about all things Disney with you.
Plus, we're both teachers, so we love to talk.
Welcome back to Backseat Imagineering Podcast, Episode 3. Very exciting. Had a small upgrade in our sound quality, too, so we're excited about that. Shout-outs today. If you want a younger perspective on Disney, I'm going to recommend a pretty different podcast. Check out Behind the Door Reviews. This is actually done by our nephew. When he started hearing us do podcasts, he wanted to get in on the fun. You'll walk away.
You can make our niece and nephews do or buy anything by doing it first.
That's true. We've had to buy many hats in the past because I bought it first.
Your sisters had to buy many hats.
Also true. Anyway, if you listen to this podcast, you're going to walk away with a better idea of how kids think about Disney parks. And I think that's the value. You'll hear from a kid's perspective what the restaurants he likes or doesn't like. And I'm sure as the podcast continues, you'll hear about other experiences he's had. So please go check that out. It's a really neat perspective on Disney. Also, if you want to connect with us, you can connect with us on Twitter at Backseat Imagine or by email, backseatimagineeringpodcast@gmail.com. That's a long one. Also, you can check out our Redbubble store. If you go on Redbubble, Kate has her own store. She has some merch from the podcast, but she also has some literary.
Mm-hmm. Just real geeky stuff.
Yeah. So if you're interested in real geeky literature merchandise or podcast merchandise, you can check us out at Redbubble. Just search for Backseat Imagineering and you'll find us. Mailbag. Okay.
Is that what you're doing now?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. You're not a fan?
Oh, no. Let's hear it again.
Mailbag. All right. In our first episode, we talked about attractions which needed to come back. So I actually pulled the Twitterverse a little to see which attractions, which I mentioned, needed to come back. And Horizons, which is no surprise to me, was the overwhelming favorite. I also pulled our Twitterverse this week to find out which of the IP that didn't have attractions needed one first. Overwhelming favorite, again, was Moana. So we love hearing from you guys. Keep interacting with us on Twitter and letting us know your thoughts.
Speaking of reactions, I also want to give a shout out to my sister Liz, who is probably our first and biggest fan of the podcast. And she mentioned that she was surprised I hadn't said Body Wars as an attraction that should come back. And she's absolutely right, because it really was a family favorite. If you remember, that's the motion simulator that used to be in the Pavilions of Life. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Wonders of Life.
Wonders of Life Pavilion with Cranium Command. And I was thinking, I did love that ride, but I betcha if I saw the video that goes along with it these days, it might be a little corny, a little dated. So I was thinking of how to do kind of a similar thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it reminds me of this episode of The Muppet Babies, like the old one back from the 80s that I must have seen. It must have been on VHS, because I feel like I've seen this episode a million times. And the Google tells me that it's called Scooter's Uncommon Cold, episode 309, where Scooter's sick and all the rest of the Muppet Babies shrink down to go inside his body to help heal him. Did you ever see this
one? No, I don't think I remember this one.
It's great. They get on a submarine and they fire orange juice and vitamin C, and like there's white blood cells like fight off the germs. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be great, kind of like the old Hanna-Barbera motion simulator at Universal, which I believe is now the Minions ride, a little bit of a softer movement, more of like a kids focused thing to bring back Body Wars, but as like a Muppet Babies.
Okay, like, I'm all for Muppet IP. So yeah, definitely bring back Muppet Babies.
Yeah, so while we're just telling Disney what to do, that's my idea, and also a shout out to my sister for reminding me about Body Wars.
So those are all based on an old movie, right? Inner Space, I think it's called, I want to say. While you Google it, I'll continue talking.
It just told me, and it wasn't that, I don't think. But the Fantastic Voyage, the 1966 film, which the internet also tells me was cut in with the original Muppet Babies episode. You know, they did that all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a really cool
And for those of you out there who don't know, it was a ride very similar to Star Tours in its construction. So that was it was the same idea, but instead of being in a Star Wars universe, you were inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
That Wonders of Life Pavilion, actually, I think is an underrated pavilion that had a lot of attractions and was surprisingly short-lived for a pavilion at a Disney park when you think about, you know, either original attractions closing. It's rare that you see a pavilion like that that opened well after the opening of the park. I mean, I think it opens in the 90s or late 80s, maybe. I can look that up. But that closes then relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. So, and they still have that pavilion. It's where they do where they have been doing all their celebration, like central things. But that's an underrated pavilion.
So. Yeah, what parent doesn't want to outsource the talk to Walt Disney World for their kids? So I'm saying bring it back.
Okay, let's get to the news. Quick news this week around the pandemic, some changes that have been happening to Disney World, one of which I really like and one of which I think is expected and maybe something Disney can think about with other pavilions in the future. Characters are now cavorting around in fields acting as themselves in the parks. You know, in those, if you go into the Disney parks, there's often like grassy areas that are like fenced off, but you can see them.
Yeah.
So I've seen pictures of Pooh trying to catch butterflies. I've seen pictures of characters like trying to fish and just cavorting around in like the wild acting as themselves.
That's cute.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, so much more so than if a character is just sort of tucked off in a corner with a big line out in front of them waiting to sign. Now, I get the appeal to that. You know, we did it too. We wanted our daughter to experience meeting characters and getting signatures and all that kind of thing. But man, think about atmosphere, having the characters that you know and love just sort of out and about around you, which I understand. Now, we haven't been there. We're planning on going very soon to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been planning on going very soon. We
planned several times. And I think that's a more common thing in Disneyland. Mm. But to see it in Disney World, I just think is so neat. And then the queue I just saw recently was outside Mexico. They actually put a capacity limit on Mexico, the inside pavilion, you know, where it looks like nighttime and you're in an outside market. They put a capacity on that and they set up a line outside, which I think obviously in our current situation is great.
Yeah.
But I also think a lot of these pandemic things, they may want to think about keeping. I mean, I think there is some sense for maybe having a limit on Mexico because of the way you can really sort of preserve the atmosphere inside the Mexico pavilion if it's not packed with people. Now, it starts raining and I think all of that.
I'll just put the margarita stand at the front of the queue and I'll wait as long as you'd like.
There you go. Now you're talking. So anyway, that's our news for this week. Now it's time for Pass or Fast Pass. And this week we're going to be discussing the live action remake. So if you don't know, and I can't believe unless you've been living under a rock that you haven't seen this, Disney's been taking a lot of their classic, what's considered the Renaissance age of Disney, and remaking them into live action movies. So the question is this something you like, Fast Pass, or something you would pass on altogether? And since I went first last week, I'm going to let you go first this week.
Okay. Well, I'm going to reveal myself as a true curmudgeon to say just a hard pass generally. Honestly, though, I just don't like remakes to start with.
As a policy,
like especially of a good movie. I mean, it's one thing if something's out of date, but if something is like, oh, this was good, we can make money by just selling the same thing again. I feel like it's a cop out of creating like new works.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even like the Beauty and the Beast one. And I think everybody liked that. They lost me when they took the "every last inch of me is covered with hair" line out of Gaston's song. You know, I mean, female characters have a history of being, if not objectified, like looked at for their beauty and their looks rather than their character. So here's the one moment where it's the guy with his chest hair and rippling muscles. And they kind of, you know, softened that a little bit in the live action remake. So I'm just a hard pass on live action remakes altogether.
I would say I felt very much the same way. And I was sort of a purist from the perspective of they did it right the first time. Why are they doing this again? This is a money grab, all that kind of thing. And then I actually watched some of the movies and I really liked them. I mean, I was sold on Beauty and the Beast right away. I thought it was great the way they did it. And one of my favorite things that they're doing with the live action movies is they're bringing in the songs that they've written for some of the Broadway shows. So it's not like they're just completely remaking the content of the animated feature, but it's more like they're making a movie version of the Broadway show that they produced so that those of us who can't always get to Broadway can still enjoy a really good performance. And I think they're getting some great actors and actresses come in to play these roles. And some in some cases, they're doing really authentic jobs in the sense that they're, I think they're doing a great job of matching the characters in the way they were built for the animated movie, much like they did in Beauty and the Beast. And then I think like Will Smith's Aladdin, which I did not expect to be good. I did not expect that to be a good performance. He made it his own and it was enjoyable. It's not Robin Williams. It's never going to be Robin Williams in the same way, but in his own interpretation of the role, it was really, really great. So I'm a fast pass on the live action remakes. They're bringing the songs to a more generalized public. They're showing these movies that I grew up loving to a younger generation in a new light. They're giving opportunities to some phenomenal performers to take on some classic roles. And I think they're allowing us all access to a lot of great work that's been done for these Broadway musicals or the shows that are done in the parks that we might not have otherwise gotten. So I would have been in your camp early on, but now I'm definitely a fast pass on those.
Those are all good arguments, granted.
We're going to start a new segment this week, Trip Planning from the Back Seat. Travel tips on getting the most out of your Disney vacations. And if you want an affordable way to stay close to the parks, on the monorail possibly, in a certain size room, I have to recommend renting DVC points. This is something we did for our last vacation. We were traveling with a whole family, some people who needed to be close to the park for mobility, and we needed laundry facilities and a kitchen so we could cook and clean throughout the week when you're traveling with young ones. So we needed a certain size room. We need to be close to the park. That can get very expensive. And if you haven't looked at it in a while, it can really be outside a lot of people's budgets. A way of cutting down on that cost is renting DVC points. So I really recommend that. There are a number of big sites out there, and I'm not going to name any of them in particular, but look at it and consider it. Two things to know. If you're going to rent DVC points, you need to do it very far in advance. We did it 11 months out. And even when we went to do it, some types of rooms were already gone. We were looking at Bay Lake Tower and we had to go up one level of room. If you wait until the 7 month period, which is what some people do, a lot of rooms could be gone. So I recommend doing it way, way in advance. However, know that, especially in this age of global pandemic, it's very hard to cancel that trip and get your money back because you are working with another real person. You aren't working with Disney anymore. You're not going through Disney. So there are some complications. If you want to add a dining plan, you have to go through the owner of the original DVC points. So just be aware of that. Some people I know even have gone online to chat rooms and tried to buy DVC points directly from an owner. I haven't done that myself. There's too much risk associated with that for my comfort level. And I was even a little worried about using these big sites, but I ended up finding the process very easy. They dealt with us in a very nice way and answered all of my questions very quickly. And we ended up having a great trip using them.
I mean, Disney fans on the other end too. So right. Disney fans are great.
Disney community is great. So check it out. If you're planning a trip soon or in the very distant future, take a look at rent DVC points. All right. Time for our main segment, Backseat Imagineering. As we mentioned earlier, Disney has been on a roll of rebooting its animated classics as live action movies. So Kate thought it would be fun to figure out which live action movies deserved an animated reboot treatment. Now, as a fan of no reboot, it was funny that you came up with this idea.
Well, I was regretting it as soon as I started to think of reason, you know, because every movie I thought of, I was like, yeah, that's a good movie. We shouldn't remake that. So I do have some ideas to add, but it was a bit of a struggle.
I feel pretty strongly. I don't have that many. I had a longer list before and I pared it down sort of saying, okay, maybe, maybe not. Like The Rocketeer is an honorable mention for me. And 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was another honorable mention to me. They had 20,000 Leagues had a classic attraction. I think they could do some neat things with the visual, but you're right. I thought about it and I said, what movies actually I think would be improved by having the animated reboot? And my first pick was Swiss Family Robinson. I actually loved this movie as a kid. I mean, the sense of adventure and the family ties, getting through a tough situation, making the best of it, building that awesome treehouse, which I just thought was the coolest thing. So I think it's a classic. It's got an attraction in the Magic Kingdom people forget about. The Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. So there's already property in the parks that you could sort of market and mm-hmm. build off of. Mm-hmm. So I think that'd be a really neat one. I think they could actually do it as a musical, which, you know, me, I love musicals, and there's so much material in there that they could really, I think, do something neat with Swim, Swim, and Robinson.
Yeah. If they ride ostriches, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
there you go.
On,
and
right there.
You know, no real ostriches would have to be harmed.
No,
if it was,
no real ostriches have to be ridden for that to, for that to happen. So that's great. A reprisal of the role from Madame Upnova. She hasn't had another opportunity since
who
Fantasia.
Is it? For almost everyone out there who doesn't know who Madame Upnova is, the dancing ostrich in the dancing hippo number of Fantasia.
Yeah, one of Kate's favorite characters. So we could reprise her role here in Swiss Family Robbins. My second one, and I think actually my favorite of all of these, Flight of the Navigator. I don't know that a lot of people know, one, this movie, or two, that it was a Disney movie. It's a great movie. It's a fun watch. Great kids movie. It's got an alien robot spaceship in it. I just think it'd be great. It actually has Sarah Jessica Parker in it in one of her earlier roles. So if you're a big Sarah Jessica Parker fan, please check out the movie. But check out the movie anyway, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember really liking it as a kid, but now I remember the title, and I remember like 5 or 6 images, you know, the way you have a memory that's just like a couple images in your head. And I knew nothing about the plot. And when I saw it on your list, I thought, okay, I don't need to bother to look up what actually happens in Flight of the Navigator. But I'll second that just on memory of having liked it.
I actually watched it again recently before Disney Plus came out. I found it online and I watched it again recently, and I loved it. There's a line in there where the kid gets out of the spaceship to relieve himself, and the robot's head comes out too, following him. And he goes, "Why are you leaking?" And
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Right? It cracks me up still to this day. So I'm always breaking the rules of all of these backseat Imagineerings, because that's what I do. But Disney's been involved with a lot of different productions of Wizard of Oz over the years. There's a Muppet Wizard of Oz. There's Back to Oz. There's all these different Wizard of Oz movies they've done in the past. And I'm saying Disney needs to do an animated Wicket. I want to see Wicket brought back. I want to see all the actors, Joel Grey, Idina Menzel, all of them reprise their roles.
Christian Chenoweth,
reprise their roles and do an animated Wicket. Preserve the show, do it with all Disney animation, and rewrite the script around the Wicked Witch, which I think, again, this time period calls for some attention to be drawn to that. And the original material is not kid friendly. If you've read the original book Wicked, it's not kid friendly, but the musical itself did a lot to, I think, still capture the ideas of the book without necessarily going into the non kid friendly parts. And I think if Disney did a little bit of tweaking, it could be a great, great animated feature for them. So Wicked to be my third pick for which live action movies or Broadway shows, I guess, as it goes, could be made into animated features. So that's all my picks, but that's right. You have a list too, don't you?
Yeah, just a couple movies I was thinking of. And I mentioned that we've mentioned a couple times that I'm against remakes. So I struggled a little bit with
this. So it's on the record. You are against remakes. Okay, good.
But in a way, I think going from live action to animated makes more sense, because animation is really timeless. Like, you can watch Snow White and there's nothing about it that is like, oh, that's kind of janky. You know, everything in Snow White is gorgeous and amazing still.
In the production of it. I mean, there's some things story-wise, like the sleeping girl being kissed by a prince to wake up without any sort of consent being sought by the prince, I think is a little bit questionable, but sure, I get your point.
Yeah. Rob told our daughter that he was giving her CPR.
Yes, the prince was giving Snow White CPR as a way of reviving her.
Which then she turned around and gave me a big kiss on the mouth and said, "That's to help you breathe, mommy."
Okay, so maybe not the best story.
Yeah. So you got to watch.
We're trying.
But visually, the film still looks great. But when you look at special effects for older movies, they often don't hold up, especially to new audiences. So I thought about this as, you know, what movies did I love as a kid that, you know, our daughter, kids these days would take one look at it and say, like, you know, what kind of garbage is
that? I had a similar experience when I showed you Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Which I still love to this day. And you were like, what is this craziness?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're seeing one of those older movies for the first time, sometimes it's a little, I don't know.
Yeah. I felt like that Labyrinth like that when I saw Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit that way.
Although, I mean, Bowie conquers all. So sure. I think Labyrinth should be fine. But so my short list for great movies that, you know, could use some help in the visual effects, perhaps as they age. First, a much older one, Babes in Toyland, which I remember loving as a kid.
It's a great movie.
And then two hits from the 80s, 90s from our childhood, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Which is just fantastic.
Do you remember the play area from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Oh, Honey, yeah. I loved that. It's like my parents could not drag me out of that.
Did you also cry when Auntie died? I cried when Auntie died in that movie. I was so sad. And now I'm not, you know, as an adult, I think I really despise bugs in general. But when Auntie died in that movie, I cried.
And I remember the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, too, which is the
See, we never saw that.
You never saw that?
No, we never saw that.
Oh, that was really – that was neat because it was like you picked up the whole box and shook the whole room. Yeah, I mean, there's – talk about another attraction that could really come back.
Okay.
But it couldn't come back because who watches that movie anymore?
Right.
But maybe with a remake they could. And then finally in this category, Hocus Pocus, which is, you know, always a favorite – to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But
and is their Halloween show. Halloween show for the last few years has been, I mean, there's no Halloween parties this year, but has been focused on the Sanderson sisters.
Mm-hmm. So Hocus Pocus, maybe not right now, maybe it's too soon, but down the road, you know, I think it's a neat concept.
Sure.
That could be revamped.
And I don't know if you know this, but they actually just produced a Hocus Pocus board game.
Oh.
Yeah, where they actually did animate the Sanderson sisters on the cover, and it's a cooperative game where you're trying to stop the Sanderson sisters completing their mission. Yeah, so.
I mean, my only reservations is that the whole, like, witches in Salem bothers me. You know, the whole point of the Salem witchcraft trials is that they weren't actually witches. You know, that's what the term a witch hunt means. You're going after people wrongly. Right. So, the snooty English professor in me is kind of appalled by the whole witches in Salem thing, but my inner child still loves Hocus Pocus.
Sure.
Although I feel like you'd still need Bette Midler. I don't know if you couldn't do it without her. The only other movies I was thinking of when thinking through this question are some of the classic sports movies of the 80s and 90s. Again, thinking back to our childhood.
Even early aughts, like Remember the Titans and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So my one super goofy idea was Mighty Ducks, maybe with actual ducks. You could animate. I don't know. Disney, work on that.
Yeah.
And then the other movie that I love, and I remember my sister, to give another shout out to Liz, loving, is Cool Runnings, the movie about the Jamaican bobsled team. That one, I love the movie. Maybe it doesn't need to be remade, you know, in any sense, you know, or as an animated movie, but I wanted to give a final shout out to Cool Runnings.
So you're saying basically these are movies you love. You're willing to concede that you might also enjoy an animated remake, but in general, you're still against reboots.
Yeah. And I probably wouldn't enjoy it. I'd probably just watch the new version and say, why do you need to exist?
That's the curmudgeon side coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have a real issue with remakes.
Well, thanks for coming along with us on this ride. And as always, we really enjoy making this podcast and we really appreciate you fans out there. You can find us on Twitter at Backseat Imagine, or you can reach out by email. We're at Gmail at backseatimagineeringpodcast@gmail.com. Also, we're on Apple Podcasts.
Hooray!
Yay! So check us out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you love listening to podcasts. Give us a 5-star review if you really enjoyed the podcast, or just listen, even if you didn't. And give us a like, and of course, continue reaching out. Thanks so much. The Disney community is one of the best communities out there, and we just appreciate you all so much. So have a magical day.